Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast, made on Varick Street at WNYC.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. If you've ever seen Grammy-winning singer Angelique Kidjo perform live, well, you know she's a powerful, larger-than-life figure on stage. Born in Benin, West Africa, and now living in Brooklyn, New York, she's apparently a dynamo offstage as well, because she's about to release this album, Eve, later this month, and has just put out a memoir called Spirit Rising, all while traveling the developing world as a UNICEF Goodwill Ambassador. With blurbs from Bill Clinton and Bono, and introductory words by Desmond Tutu and Alicia Keys, Spirit Rising recounts her life in music and beyond. She's here with guitarist Dominique James to perform some stripped-down songs from the new record for us. This first one is called Kulumbu. It's Angelique Kidjo, live on Soundcheck.
Yeah,
That is Angelique Kidjo and a song called Kulumbu, which will be on her new record called Eve, comes out on January 28th, performing with guitarist Dominique James here in the Soundcheck studio. Angelique, good to see you again.
Good morning. Happy New Year, John.
Good morning? What time do you get up?
It's good morning for me. good afternoon, if you want.
So, if there's ever a person for whom there aren't enough hours in the day, that's got to be, you've been working on this new record, you've been working on the book, the memoir, you have your Batonga Foundation at work in West Africa. How do you juggle all of that?
Well, I juggle all of that having in mind one of the phrases that my grandmother used to tell me when I was little. I would tell my grandma, I'm so tired. And she'd go, you tired at your age? You rest when you're 6 feet under. Come on, get up and go work.
So your grandmother basically said, I'll sleep when I'm dead.
Yes, that's what she did. She worked basically till 1 year before she passed away. She was 107 when she passed away. Mm-hmm. And she never stopped. And to stop her working, it was something else.
So now this is kind of, this gets to the theme of this, the new record, Eve, which is about
Women
in Africa and their strength and their persistence and perseverance.
I mean, the African women are so beautiful, but most of the time in the media, the image of African people is just negative all the way. It doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter who we are. We are all put under the same denomination, poverty, misery, and nothing good come out of Africa. And if you look at music, basically, everybody have something from Africa. We've given the world so much arts, so much music. And every different kind of form of art that exists has been impacted by Africa. And the African women, for me, are my backbone. And at the backbone of that continent, without the African women, Africa would be in the worst shape that it is right now. And I decided also to call the album Eve because it's the first woman that we know the story of. Mm-hmm. And it's the little name of my mother, too. But the Eve story has been told by men. Once again, we are defined by people that have interest for us to be below them. So the story as it comes out, Eve tempted Adam to eat the apple.
So everything's Eve's fault.
So Adam, did Adam have a brain? Actually, did you have brain to use? Or Eve actually overpowered Adam and put him down on the floor, put her knees on his throat and says, shovel the apple in his mouth, and he has to eat it. I mean, it's the same thing that we are defined by other people. When your story is not told by yourself, you always end up being somebody's fool. And so we have been the fool of the people that have been telling the story of Adam from the beginning.
So now this album's dedicated to the spirit of the women of Africa, but it also dovetails nicely with the Batonga Foundation.
Absolutely, because the purpose of Batonga Foundation is to give a secondary and higher education to girls to transform Africa, because it has been proven that just the primary education reduces child death at birth. And if you go a little bit higher, you see the GDP of the country start growing.
The gross domestic product.
Absolutely. Yeah. Everything grows because women invest, not only in education back, because they always invest in their children's education when they have the means for it. And also the way they invest and the way they play a role in the community, in the family, and in the country. So we need African women to be absolutely educated highly, not only for economical reason, but political reason too. Mm-hmm. They have to be in power. Let me give you an example. When we started Batonga in 2006, I went to Benin to meet a couple of the girls. And I started asking them, why is it so important for them for me to come in to pick it up from the primary education to secondary education? What did they want to achieve with going to school? I mean, I want to hear from them. And lots of them been telling me stuff. I mean, one of them tell me I want to be a neurosurgeon. I'm like, what do you know about a neurosurgeon? And she said to me, nerve is important as much as bones in the body. I'm like, okay. And the one of them that was really quiet, and I said, okay, now I want to hear you. And she looked at me and she said, I want to grow up and become the first female president or a president of this country. And I look at her, I said, why do you want to do politics? Why do you want to be president? And she looked at me and she said to me, with all due respect, men have been leading this country as long as I can recall, and nothing good has come out of it for us. She was 12 years old. That's the brain that we are talking about, that if we don't give those brains a chance to shine, we lose. We all lost.
We're speaking with Angelique Kidjo, the Benin-born, Brooklyn-based singer and songwriter and goodwill ambassador for UNICEF. Your own story, as recounted in Spirit Rising, your new memoir, the importance of you having access to education in your family. You know, your parents wanted you to go to school. They wanted you to, you know, they wanted you to know about the arts and culture and stuff like that.
Well, my father always used to say, because as the only income bringer in the house, because my mom was a housewife, and she has a business of fabric, of course, but that business fabric, the fabrics business, end up sponsorizing the theater through that she had.
Right.
She has passion for theater. But my father always used to say, the only wealth I can give you is to send you to school. Because he always said, I don't have enough energy to decide for you. And I don't want to decide for you. I'm your father. I shouldn't be the person that decide who you have to choose as a partner of life or what direction or what you want to do in your life. You have to be in charge of yourself. And he always said, you have a brain, use it. It's not a spaghetti plate that you got to sit in front of and eat. Just, I'm going to send you to school for you to really know who you are, what you want to do, and just take lead in your own life. I will always be here as a refuge and as a person that you can come to and talk to, but I can't decide for you.
That sounds very progressive. I mean, for many parts of the world, but especially
in Africa,
especially for Benin in like the 1960s and 70s.
Till today, it's kind of a very conservative society. And my father was really looked at like a weirdo. I mean, he looked at him like, you talk like white people. And my father said, well, I'm white, I'm blue, I'm red, I'm green, whatever you said. As long as people are free to choose to do what they want to do, no one should impact that, nor religion, nor tradition, nothing to stand in between the people's choices.
Now, so talking about, you know, growing up in a conservative environment like that, where people tend to pigeonhole other people, mm-hmm. you as a female singer, mm-hmm. you had early success, you mm-hmm. made an early record. And you write at one point in the book about coming home and hearing this terrible gossip about yourself, this kind of slander about, because women who sang, who were professional musicians, were seen as kind of disreputable, right?
Absolutely. I mean, when you sing traditional music, it's okay, because our history is oral. So it goes from storytelling to singing. But when you start playing with what the elderly people call the instrument of evil, guitar, drums, mm-hmm. piano, and anything that is not traditional, when you're a boy, no one wants to have you as a son-in-law, because they don't perceive it as a job, first of all, and you're a junkie for sure. You're taking drugs, because the 60s sex, drug, and rock and roll have hit Africa hard, and nobody have explained to those people that it's just not all the music like that. So it stays with people. But when you were a young girl, when you start singing, when I start singing at 6, I was singing traditional music. Everybody find it very cute, very loving, and then people love me for that. And when I start getting more and more involved in music, doing different kind of music, because I was exposed to different type of music, then the hell went loose on me. And I remember I was 12 years old, walking back from school, and in that heat, I mean, of half past noon, when you're walking, the only thing you're thinking about, how am I going to get home quick, grab my lunch, have a little bit of siesta before I go back, because it's so hard, you can't do nothing. And out of the blue, first thing I receive is a stone, and then some sand, and then some spit. And then you have people on my back, the whore, the prostitute. They were walking in a... I turn around, they say, yeah, we're talking about you.
How old were you?
I was 12.
12?
Yeah. And then I'm like, what? What did I do? So I ran home, and that day my maternal grandmother was visiting us, because sometimes she come and see us to see how we're doing, because we spend a lot of time with her too. And then when I walked into the house crying, sobbing actually, she just jumped off on her feet and go, what's wrong? She thought I was hurt. She grabbed me, and I was shaking. And barely I could, tears coming up, I couldn't speak. I was so hurt. And then she wiped all the spit out of me, tried to clean me. What is going on? Calm down. Take a deep breath and tell me what's going on. So when I get into myself, I told her exactly this. I said, I don't want to sing anymore if singing means that I have to be taunted and being called whore. She calmed me down, and then she said to me, you love to sing? I said, yes, I do. And then she said, do we judge you in this house? I said, no. And then she said to me, why should you care about people you don't know outside that are judging you versus us that love you and are supporting you. I have a lesson for you. I have just this, I mean, I'm going to tell you this one. You do whatever you want to do with it. One thing you have to know in life, you cannot be loved and appreciated by everybody, and you cannot love and appreciate everybody. That's just the way nature goes. If what you do, you are in sync with it, your heart, your brain, your whole body is happy doing what you do, don't mind the people. There will always be people that won't love it, and there will always be people that will love it. That's all. And I took that lessons from that moment on, and it becomes part of my mantra.
Well, again, that's the very progressive thinking from members of the Kijo family there in Benin. Anjali Kijo is with us here in our New York studio, as she visits from time to time. A new album coming out on January 28th called Eve. The memoir, Spirit Rising, My Life and My Music, is just out now. You want to play another song for us from the new record?
Yes, I will play. I have to explain to you the song that I play. Awolole is about the leadership, the future leaders in Africa. And the leaders, the young kid told me the story. We want to be different leaders. If you come 10 to 20 years from now, we will transform Africa because we take lead serving the people, not serving ourselves.
Okay, so that's Awolele?
Awolole, yeah.
Anjali Kijo is the singer and songwriter, and Dominique James is accompanying her on, he'll switch to acoustic guitar for this song. Here in the Soundcheck studio, once again, this song will be on the new CD, Eve, when it comes out on the 28th, but here's a live performance in the Soundcheck studio.
Baba, to perfect me, Cucunio, Awani, to perfect me, Orisha, Awani, Awalo Lady, Ekwe, Mini Baba, Awalo Lady, Ekwe, Iwani Baba, Awalo Lady, Ekwe, Mini Baba, Awalo Lady, Ekwe, Iwini Baba, to perfect me, Lady, Awani, to perfect me. Awa, awa na eleri, awa woni talo feso were lokmo. Awa, awa na eleri, awa talo feso were lokmo. Awa, awa na eleri, awa. Yeah, aniwe meroko re wagbelo. Baba, awalo lady, egbe iwani. Oh, awalo lady, egbe imini baba. Oh, awalo lady, egbe iwani baba. Toba fekbe kukunyo awani. Toba fekbe orisha. Oh, awani. Awalo lady, egbe imini baba. Awalo lady, egbe iwani baba. Awalo lady, egbe imini baba. Awalo leri egbe iwoni baba to ba fe pe gungun yo awani o to ba fe pe orisha o awani 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 o o to ba fe pe leri o awani awani Awalo leri egbe mi ni baba Awalo leri egbe mi ni baba o Awalo leri egbe iwo ni baba
That is Angelique Kidjo live on Soundcheck, and a song called Awolele, which will appear on her next album, Eve, out on January 28th. The memoir, Spirit Rising, is just out. And Angelique and guitarist Dominic James performing for us here on Soundcheck. This next song is an old one called Blewu, originally from the Togolese singer Bella Bello, who was a formative influence on a young Angelique Kidjo. And here she is to sing this song for us live on Soundcheck. Lovely. Angelique Kidjo, live on Soundcheck with Dominic James playing the guitar. Blewu is a song from Bella Bello, who, Angelique, when you were growing up in Benin, she was kind of a star next door in Togo, right?
Absolutely. And for me, seeing her singing was kind of like seeing an angel on earth singing. She has that grace and that smile, angel smile on her face. And for me, she passed away too young. I was 13 years old when she died in a car accident. I think she was 27.
Wow.
It was just like, my words was like, oh my God. And that triggered a song in me. The first song that I have written was after her death, where I'm expressing my sadness, how sad it was for her to leave us so early, and all those beautiful songs that can come out of her that will never be heard anymore.
Right.
And it was difficult.
So at the same time that you were dealing with, you know, people spitting at you and throwing stones at you because you were a singer, here was a singer who, you know, was on the radio and made records.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah, that everybody was
a very powerful image, I would think.
For me, it was very comforting to have her in my life at that time.
Yeah. Let me ask you something about your work with UNICEF as a goodwill ambassador. You write a little bit about this in the book, Spirit Rising, but, you know, through this work, You are spending time with some of the most famous people on our planet, presidents and pop stars and actors and activists, and then you are in some of the most dire and grim places on Earth with, you know, kids and women who have been the real victims of conflicts around the world. And then you have to come home and deal with, you know, what am I making for dinner tonight? You know, the sort of routine worries. And how have you been able to do that?
Well, I think that if I didn't have music, I would have lost my mind a long time ago, because the harm that we are able to put on ourselves and other people is just amazing to me. The creativity in horror that we have is just flabbergasting. Mm. And yet, the victim of those horror are the ones that give us strength to continue. Because when you're sitting down with 23 women from the Darfur conflict in Chad, in the refugee camp in Chad, and they were still crying after 4 or 5 years into the crisis, being raped relentlessly, the kids being killed, beheaded when they were breastfeeding them, all those horror stories. And when you leave them, they tell you one thing. They say to us, whatever you can do, whatever is in your capacity that you can do for us, we don't want to be victimized twice. Mm-hmm. Don't portray us as victim. All we want is safety, security, to be able to go back home and grab our life from where we have left it, to be able to raise our daughters, because most of the boys have been killed, because that's what they do. They kill the father and they kill all the male, and they leave the girls there. Because in the camp, they realize the importance of education, because there are schools in the camp. And it gives them hope. They want to go back home and see a different life for their children. Those girls, they want them to be different. They want them to go to school, to be part of the process, long-lasting process, peace process.
Right.
And that's what give me the strength when I come back here, to cherish the moment that I come back, to hug my child, to hug my husband, to see my friends. Music helped me gather people around me to replenish myself. But that trip that I took in Chad have impacted my sleep till today.
Hmm. And yet you also write in the book that it's okay to have the routine worries of,
that's okay too. It's okay. We have to. We are normal. We're human beings.
Are you worried about this new Philip Glass piece that he's written for you? Philip Glass has written a piece for Angelique Kidjo and the Luxembourg Philharmonic, who are on the upcoming record on the song Awolele that you performed for
us. Yeah, it's going to be difficult. It is beautiful beyond beautiful, because I've been working with Philip for a while now. We've known each other at least for 15 years, and he knows my voice. So he really wrote the song really to fit my voice, and it's a challenge that I'm taking on with a lot of tingle in my body and a lot of joy, a lot of impatience, because I want to see how it's going to sound. And it's really challenging for me. I've never sung stuff like that. But you do, as my father say, you don't try, you don't know. Don't tell me you can't do it until you try. So I'm gonna. It's gonna be an interesting one, because there's a lot of interest for it already, and it's beautiful. That's all I have to say.
Okay.
And it's beautiful, and I love Philip dearly, because he has so much enthusiasm.
What's the name of the piece?
It's called Ife.
Ife, from Philip Glass, to be performed in Luxembourg on January 17th with the Luxembourg Philharmonic Orchestra. The memoir is called Spirit Rising, My Life, My Music. Angelique Kidjo, great to see you again.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, John.
Wishing for a friend, someone to call my own. Who's left for me? I have no bound and can be sold. Keep me a friend who's gonna catch me when I fall.
We want to know what you think about Soundcheck. Tell us what you think of this segment or about the podcast in general. Email us, soundcheck@wnyc.org, or leave us a voicemail at 866-939-1612. That's soundcheck@wnyc.org or 866-939-1612.